feel the fact is that you always love me. You may think that you don't, but you can't not love me. Thoughts seem to block this awareness, and if they're stressful, I invite you to question them and set yourself free. The awakened mind is its own universe. There's nothing outside it. Delightedly, there's nothing inside it either. When mind projects as another, it only meets itself again. There can never be two. Someone says, "Hello, Katie, it's a wonderful day." How benevolent the way of it, that it would greet itself like this out of nowhere. Someone else says, "It's a terrible day." And the mind leaps with joy in the pure experience of itself. The I know mind, the mind that seems to suffer, the awesome, dear, humorous trickster, will challenge the wisdom and sanity of its balanced self as it continues to wake up. But ultimately, there is no separation. Every thought makes up the world of what it names joy, lightheartedness, inclusion, goodness, generosity, rapture, and my favorite term, friendship. Ultimately, mind becomes its own friend.
The soft and supple will prevail.
All things change because perception is constantly changing. When your mind is enlightened to itself and you notice that the world is a reflection of your own thinking, you're never surprised at these changes. You become supple. You discover that you can delight in change. You see the goodness of creation and how it can only keep surpassing itself. Why would the mind hold on to what was when it recognizes that what is always better? I have a new inner cornea thanks to my wonderful trailblazer genius surgeon, Dr. Mark Terry. The transplant surgery in Portland was an extraordinary success. 39 hours afterward, my right eye had 20/30 vision. The surgery is considered successful if the patient has 20/100 vision after a week. Now, a month later, it's 20/20. I can read very small print, and what I see is sharp, clear, colorful, a world I haven't known in a very long time. No more pain, no more blindness, and near blindness in the right eye. The transplant surgery for the left eye is scheduled for 2 months from now. What a thrill to walk around with someone else's, is it true, cornea. I can't describe the miracle of being given a necessary sight and the joy of loving the always more than I need abundance of reality. Without my husband, the surgery probably wouldn't have happened, since I was perfectly happy with two corneas like smogged-up window panes. I see everything I need to see, with or without eyesight. It's a world in which, like everyone else, I always look beautiful and perfect. If I have eye makeup on my chin and breakfast on my sweater, how would I know? And where is the problem, other than in someone else's mind? Stephen did all the research and totally was the desire for my vision, and I am so grateful for his mind's creation, this clear, crisp world that doesn't cloud over, this absence of pain. And I am so grateful to the donor and the donor's family. Believing that what you want equals what's best for you is a dead end. It makes the mind stiff, inflexible, caught in a picture of reality, rather than open to the wisdom of the way of it. What is immovable, and it's constantly changing. It flows like water. It has as many supple, beautiful forms as the mind can create, an infinity of forms, and inside them all, behind them all, it just waits. The heart doesn't move. It just waits. You don't have to listen to it, but until you do, you're going to hurt. And the heart says only one thing, what is. As you do the work, you return to the place you never actually moved from, the heart, the sweet center of the universe. Heart is just another name for the open mind. There is nothing sweeter.
The master can keep giving because there is no end to her wealth.
We think that because Jesus and the Buddha wore robes and owned nothing, that's how freedom is supposed to look. But can you live a normal life and be free? Can you do it from here, right now? That's what I want for you. We have the same desire, your freedom. And I love that you're attached to material objects, whether you have them or not, so that you can come to realize that all suffering comes from the mind, not the world. A material thing is a symbol of your thinking. It's a metaphor for desire, for I want, I need. We don't have to give up our things. They come or go. We have no control over that. We may think we do, but in reality, we don't. Whoever started teaching that we need to get rid of things, or even to give them all away, was a little confused. We may notice sometimes, after the fact, that if we lose everything, we're much freer. So we think that it's better to live without possessions. And then we notice that we're not free anymore. But when we work with our thoughts, having great wealth equals having no possessions. A mind that loves reality is the only freedom. Abundance has nothing to do with money. Wealth and poverty are internal. Whenever you think that you know something and it feels stressful, you're experiencing poverty. Whenever you realize that what you have is enough and more than enough, you're rich. For people who enter the inner world, the world of inquiry, jobs become secondary. Your job is not about making money or working with people or impressing your friends or getting respect or having security. It's a place for you to judge, inquire.